So for 10 weeks, we have been going through some big things inside of us that we would rather hide. And if we've drilled down on this truth, let's see if you remember it, you can't heal what you
don't reveal.
Yeah, great job. You can't heal what you don't reveal. And you can't live the life that God designed for you if you're slowly being destroyed from the inside out. And this series is not about behavior modification, just looking right on the outside. It's about cleaning up the inside and allowing Christ to do that work inside of us to transform us where those real problems live. Because Jesus didn't just come to make you look right on the outside. He came for you to be a new creature from the inside out. So in this last sermon in this series, we're going to look at depression. Depression is a deep emotional and physical state of sadness or a loss of interest that lasts long enough to interfere with our everyday life and relationships. And depression is a time of inner suffering where a person feels distant from joy, distant from others, and even from God. But it's not necessarily a sign of weak faith. Many biblical characters and figures like David, Elijah, and Job experienced great time of depression. And there's clinical reasons for depression as well, brain chemistry or maybe even the side effects of a medication. And if these are problems that you're struggling with, don't hesitate to talk to your doctor because there is help. But there is a spiritual side to depression as well, and that's what we're going to deal with today. A big word that goes alongside depression is the word hopelessness. And a person struggling with depression might feel like they're moving through life in slow motion. Even simple tasks like getting out of bed, showering, answering a text, those things can feel overwhelming. They may lose interest in things that they used to enjoy, like hobbies. They might feel constantly tired, withdrawn from others, carrying a heavy sense of sadness and emptiness, or even numbness that won't go away. On the outside, they might appear fine, but inside, they're often battling thoughts of worthlessness, hopelessness, and even wondering if life matters. Scripture deals with these things. God's word is a real and genuine and authentic book where it speaks to these things inside of us. And in Psalms 42 and 43, if you want to turn there right now, one of the sons of Korah felt this way. Now, the sons of Korah were men who worked in the temple, and they had a big part in temple worship music. And 11 of the Psalms were written by them. And we don't often today sing songs about depression in church, right? That's not something we normally do. But Psalms 42 and 43 reflect that, and they even run together, and you can almost read them as one psalm. And in these two psalms, you're going to see a pattern here of lament and then hope. Lament and then hope. And a Christian who has personally, myself, struggled with some depression, these patterns of struggling between darkness and daylight are familiar. If you've ever experienced depression in your soul, these words of an unnamed man with an unnamed problem probably will feel familiar to you as well. So we're going to start in Psalms 42 and verse 1. It says, "As a deer pants for the flowing stream, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all the day long, 'Where is your God?'" The psalmist here says, "God, I am thirsty for you. I'm thirsty for some relief from you. I feel far away and I want to feel close, but I can't. I haven't been eating, just crying and grieving. And all day this one thought rings in my head, 'Where is my God?'" And it's not just the psalmist that struggles with this internally. The people around him are also looking at the psalmist here and saying, "Where is your God? Why are you going through this?" And in verse 4, the author says, "I remember when things are different. when I felt so close to God among his people, worshiping and praising. But those days feel so far away now. Now I feel so alone. But next, the psalmist gives us the first key to addressing the issues of depression inside us in verse 5. First, he says this. He says, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you in turmoil within me?" Oftentimes, we're so distracted and disconnected from what goes on the inside that we can go days and weeks and months and years without facing them and admitting them. But here he is revealing to himself what God needs to heal. Why do I feel this way? What is going on inside of me? And questions like this are good. Ask the questions. Feel the weight. Face it head on. There's been several times over the years in my life when, after thinking for a while, I'm sitting next to Tori and I looked over her and said, "I think I'm depressed." And sometimes it can happen like that, where it's just like a realization, like, oh, something's not right inside me. And if we don't address it, if we don't reveal it, we can't heal it. Until we address the depression, there is no real hope of moving forward. And something as simple as just asking the question is, what is going on inside me? Why am I feeling hopeless? Why does it feel like there's a storm brewing inside me? I remember when I felt joy and things felt different, and I try to get there, but I can't. Just something as simple as asking the questions is the start to this path of fighting depression. And when we realize these things, we must take some pause and some silence and put the phone away and stop doom scrolling through cat videos where we just, you know, it's 3 a.m. and all of a sudden we don't know what's going on, but we've just distracted ourselves into oblivion. We can't do that. We've got to break from that and take a pause and take a vacation, make space to look inside of us. Why am I feeling like this? Because your emotions were given to you by God. That's not an accident. And these emotions are roadmaps to our brokenness. But if we won't take that journey, we can't begin the path of healing. And once again, the cause of depression can be both circumstantial or clinical, but either way, we have to look at it, admit it, and share the weight. So the psalmist laments, and he feels his feelings as he says, "God, why is this happening?" But then, in verse 6, he moves on. First he says, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you in turmoil within me?" Hope in God. He's talking to his soul, and he says, "Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. My soul is cast down within me, therefore I remember." In his darkness, he talks to himself, and he says, "Soul, why are you depressed?" And then he implores his soul to hope in God. Why? Because God has helped him before. And he remembers. God has saved him before. The psalmist remembers that he has praised him before. He needs to remember. He admits that he is depressed. Then he has to give himself a little pep talk. Things have not always been this way, and they will not always be this way. I remember a time where I felt joy. There were times before where God saved me out of something when I thought I was finished, and he can do it again. I admit where I am. Then I remember where I came from and how God worked in the past. See, hope isn't a wish. Hope is based on experience. And if God has done nothing else for you than save you from your sins, you still have more than enough to look back on. God saved me once from a literal hell, and that was a lot worse than this figurative hell that I'm going through right now. And hope anticipates that same salvation happening again. And even if it doesn't happen in this life, We are promised that salvation from despair will happen once and for all in the next life. Joy comes in the morning. But working through depression is a struggle, and it's a process. There is often no silver bullet. Because lament and depression comes back to the psalmist. First, he's panting for water like a deer that's dehydrated. But now in verse 7, he feels like he's drowning. Verse 6 says, "My soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I remember you from the land of Jordan and Hermon from the Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep at the roar of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have gone over me." It mentions three places here, Jordan and Hermon. And these are places of water, and Mount Mizar. These are places of water. Jordan is a river, and Hermon and Mount Mizar is a mountain with waterfalls that are crashing down. And at the base of Mount Hermon is a waterfall named Benias. And here's a picture of it. It's the largest waterfall in Israel. And so he goes from feeling like he's dehydrated, like a deer with its tongue hanging out because it's so thirsty, to now he feels overwhelmed to the point of drowning. And this verse sounds similar and uses a lot of the same terminology as Jonah when he's on the run from God. And Jonah was saying things like this in Jonah 2:3. He says, "For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the floods surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me." So it seems as though the psalmist sees the judgment of God and is scared he's going to drown in it. "Your waterfalls, your breakers, your waves make me feel like I'm in over my head and that my footing is gone." And perhaps this gives us a glimpse as to how his depression started. It may be something that he did that he knows was outside of God's boundaries. But after his lament, the psalmist hopes once again, just like Jonah experienced. The psalmist remembers the loving, merciful God that he serves, the forgiving God. In verse 8, it says, "By day the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life." Like Israel was led by a cloud in the day and by a fire at night, in his fear and doubt, the psalmist is ministered to by God's love, his steadfast love by the day. And by night, it says that God sings his songs over him. When my kids were little, we used to sing them songs to put them to sleep, especially when they were scared or sad. And one that we sang was this: "Mommy loves you, Daddy loves you, Pawpaw loves you, too, too, too. Nana loves you, Chloe loves you, Gramps loves you, too, too, too." And we would name every single person that we could think of. Sometimes it was, distant relatives that they'd never even met. But we go on naming every person. And God sings his love over this man that is struggling through a night of lament and depression, feeling like he is lost and drowning. God comforts and ministers to this man with his presence. He doesn't tell him to get over it. He sits with him in it. But even in the tenderness of this song, questions of despair rise back up. But the psalmist is comfortable to ask these questions to his God, his rock. Verse 9, he says, "I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries taunt me while they say to me all the day long, where is your God?" Well, wait a minute. I thought as Christians we were just supposed to pray and all our problems were supposed to go away and we were all going to be great, right? No, it's called spiritual warfare for a reason. That means we fight doubt. We fight fear. We fight depression. We fight anxiety, and we wrestle with it. That's how they used to say it in Georgia. They wrestle with it. Wrestle them to the ground. We wrestle with it. And then when it storms the castle again, we fight it again. You see here expressions of real pain. This isn't just being a little cranky, a little grumpy. No, this is deep. He says, this pain reaches my bones like a wound. My enemies are celebrating that I am in pain, and they mock me. And God, they mock you. And in this chapter, we see this cycle of depression and hope, ups and downs. But we hold on, and we ride the waves by admitting that there is a problem and remembering that God has saved us once before and pushing our hearts and minds towards hope once again. Rinse and repeat. Rinse and repeat, admitting, remembering, pushing our hearts to hope. And the more that we exercise our faith and hope muscles, the more that they'll grow, and the longer of spaces of peace in between last, and the weight of depression grows lighter. That's why James 1:3 tells us the testing of our faith produces endurance. And the more God pulls you through, the more you believe and trust that he can pull you through again. And then the psalmist again finds himself hoping in the Lord. And he talks to his soul again to tell it the truth. In verse 11 in chapter 42, he says, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I again shall praise him, my salvation and my God." We see this verse repeated three times in these two chapters, almost identical. He asks these questions, and he says, hope in God. Remember that he has saved you before. He doesn't yet feel like praising him yet, but he believes that he will again. And where he is right now, he knows isn't forever. It's just for right now. And God has saved him before, and he will save him again. He ends the next chapter in the same way. He asks God to speak those truths to his heart, to help him see the light of his promises, while all that he can see is darkness. He knows he needs that help. He says, bring me back to a place of praising and joy. In Psalms 43, verse 3, he says, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling. And then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy, and I will praise you with the lyre. That's an instrument. Oh God, my God. And then again, we see this verse. He says, why are you cast down? Oh my soul, why are you at turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. He repeats those words again. He talks to his soul. He preaches to his soul. He tells his soul to have hope. Things will be better than they are right now. God has saved me before, and he will save me again. Paul David Tripp talks about the importance of talking to ourselves and pushing ourselves towards what is true. He says this. He says, no one talks to you more than you do. You are in a constant conversation with yourself. And the things that you say to you, about God, about life, they shape the way you live and what you believe. And this is one of the reasons it's so important for us to study Scripture and to be still in prayer, because you are forming yourself by your inner dialogue. And we need to make sure our inner dialogue is preaching true things, and that our inner dialogue isn't a false prophet calling God down, but instead pushing us to hope. In these two chapters of Psalm 42 and 43, we get to ride the waves of lament and depression with one of the sons of Korah as he writes this psalm. Depression, preaching to our soul about who God is, and then hope. It doesn't happen overnight. And it happens through a process of going back and forth. But there is hope. And the Bible is truthful that sometimes those feelings don't just go away, that they are real and they are painful. But with God, they don't have to last forever. You're not alone. He can save us. Talk your soul into hope. Now, again, maybe your depression is clinical and not spiritual, or maybe it's a mix of both. Talk to a counselor, talk to a doctor, but don't leave those things unattended on the inside. Many faithful Christians have bottled up depression and convinced themselves that they could do it on their own and ended up trying to take their own life or even succeeding. It's too dangerous to disconnect from your feelings and distract yourself. You have to admit that you are depressed. We can't heal what we won't reveal. Ask the questions, feel the weight, and face it head on. And then remember how God has brought you through in the past. It's so easy for us to remember the negative. That happens naturally. But we have to be intentional to remember where God has rescued us before. And for many of you, this is why the practice of journaling your blessings might be an amazing thing for you to do. To remember where God has brought you back to. And when things are dark and things seem hopeless, that you can go back and say, this is what God has done before. Oh yeah, I was so depressed I couldn't get my head off the pillow that time, and God worked it out. And I'm here today, and He can do this again. Hope in God. So easy for us to remember the negative, but we have to be intentional where God has rescued us before. And even if it's only what He did on the cross, that is still far more than we ever deserved. God is singing His love over you in His pain, or in this pain. Hopefully during this series, you've been able to really reflect over what's been going on the inside. And you've determined to address things because it matters. It's not about cleaning up the outside. It's being transformed from the inside. And hopefully you've learned that you need people and that you need God to root this stuff out. When it's depression that's inside of us, the psalmist taught us to admit and remember and then hope over and over and over again. And you talk your soul into believing that how things are right now isn't how they'll always be. Hope. And the more that we exercise our faith and hope muscles, the more that they'll grow, and the longer the spaces of peace will last in between, and the weight of depression will get lighter. And the more God pulls you through, the more you believe and trust that He can pull you through again. Depression may tell you that this is the end of your story. But God says it is not. Admit what's on the inside. Remember what God has done. Talk to your soul. Preach to it. Push it towards hope and hold on because you will praise Him again. And what you're feeling right now is real, but it's not forever. Ride the waves of lament and depression and let them crash you against the rock of ages. Feel your feelings, admit where you are, and remember that God has rescued you before, and talk your heart into hope. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes as we deal with God in what He's talked to us about this morning. Christians for hundreds and hundreds of years have practiced introspection and examining your day and looking over your day and seeing where God was working and where you needed to work on. And this is something we need to do. It's so easy to be distracted. It's so easy to be unintentional with our lives and just go with the flow. But if we go with the flow, we will end up off course. Instead, we have to determine to stick close to the good shepherd and follow his leading. And today, you might have come to that realization, hey, I think I might be depressed. That's a great place to start. That's a great place to begin to deal with those feelings of hopelessness inside you. Taking those things to God, remembering where he has pulled you out before. And then preaching to your soul to hope again. Maybe today you need the bravery to go and say, hey, I need to talk to a therapist. I've got some big trauma that I got to deal with. I got to talk to my doctor. But today what we're dealing with right now in this moment is between you and God. Crying out to your Lord. Even if it is something that you wouldn't say in front of anybody else, like, God, where are you? God, what's going on? I don't feel very loved by you today, God. I feel far away. Being honest with him, but realizing that he is good and that he is in control and he will ultimately save you once again. Take those things to him right now. Maybe you're here today and you're not sure that you are yet a child of God. You can't remember a time and a place where you went back and you called out to God to save you, putting your faith and trust in Jesus and what he did on the cross. There's no amount of good that can get you to heaven. It's not the fact that your dad was a deacon or that you've given so much money. The only thing that can save you is the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross and his resurrection. God, in the flesh, walked this earth, lived a perfect and a holy life so that he might die in our place because sin separated us from God. The Bible tells us the wages of our sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And it also tells us that God commended his love towards us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 10:13 tells us, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can call out to God right now. The words aren't important. It's not just a pledge of allegiance or a poem that you recite. It's a choice in your heart to follow him. Jesus over and over again in the Gospels would call to people to follow him. And that's the response today, is to put your faith and trust in Jesus and to become his disciple. You can do that right now with something like this. And once again, the words aren't important, but you can call out and say, dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. And I know because of my sin that I deserve hell. God, forgive me. I'm turning from my sin and I'm turning to you. I put my faith in what you did on the cross to save me. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. If that's you today and you made that choice, or over the next few minutes you make that choice, I'd love for you to fill out that connection card and write, I chose Jesus, so I can talk you through this amazing journey that you just started of becoming a child of God, to be born again, to be saved, accepting Jesus as your Savior. Because that's the greatest thing you can ever do. Let's stand. And we'll sing here in a second. Once again, just like every Sunday, if you want to come down for prayer and have your church family pray over you, whether you're dealing with problems of depression or whether you're dealing with any types of financial problems, health problems, or relational problems, and you just feel like you need to take a step out and physically act out, bowing to God and having your church family come alongside you, we'd love to pray over you this morning. You come now.